for the purpose, critique, review, positive education, and everything that's vibing good. Here we go with the
Shiny Squirrel Podcast, The Nerdlings. I'm WC Chronicles, your senior host.
Jersey Mike Jr.
And we are in the midst of Guns N' Roses. I have been hearing a lot more Guns N' Roses on the radio this week, whether it be Welcome to the Jungle, Paradise City. We heard it twice tonight.
Yeah.
Heard it twice tonight.
They're resurrecting the past with a good group.
Yeah, I mean, the 80s are... people would say... It seems like the declaration of, oh, the 80s are hot again. The 80s have always been hot. Give me a break.
That's it.
So we're basically doing a four-part series, looking at every disc, reviewing every disc that is part of the Appetite of Destruction, Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses. The second disc is basically comprised of all the B-sides from the vinyls, the CDs. It's called B-sides and EPs.
I love that. B's and E's.
We got 12 tracks we're going to work through. Now, you're going to notice a little different quality of the tracking and the sound of it. It's because we're basically tracking the music live.
And then, you know what? That's a good one because...
You got to go buy this thing.
It's just like going to a concert. You got to go at least one concert in your life.
You got
to
get the concert t-shirt.
Yes, and you got to experience it.
You don't have to buy the $999 box set.
But we encourage you to because we're Guns N' Roses fans.
Yes. Or at least buy the digital double download. This
double down digital, double.
So what this disc is comprised of, a lot of the B-sides they put out were a lot of the live tracks or some of the acoustic stuff. And then it's the makeup of their two EPs, which one, the first one before they even had signed was called Live Like a Suicide.
Oh, that's sweet.
That was the 4 or 5 songs. And then they put that out after Appetite for Destruction during Christmas. And this is the one that had the Patience on it. Around 1889, and called GNR Lies. So, and it's very difficult to try to track what live track was put on the ultimate B-side, into which country, into which promo rate. It's just like, no. Getting down to it, they've done a good job just giving all these items, these tracks, a home.
I love that. Giving it a home. Because a lot of us feel homeless nowadays because nobody knows where to park themselves because of all the nonsense. But here at Shiny Squirrel Podcast Network, we found a home, we found a home for GNR, the B-side.
And you're here to nerd on with us. So the first one is a live track, and we may not play the full tracks. That's just the thing also, so beware of that. Here it is, the first one, track one from disc two. Go ahead.
If not, you can buy them and support Guns N' Roses to get them up again.
Exactly.
Slash and Duff. Axl need to make some money.
So here is Reckless Life, live. So we'll give you half of Reckless Life there. Now, you were saying about the comparison to the Beatles.
Gotcha. Long story short, this is America's version of when the Beatles hit us and slammed us. This is the rock version because these guys,
they were in our, they were on MTV, they were everywhere. They hit you in the face
hard. Just say it like it was. These motherfuckers were everywhere and they earned the right to do what they did.
I mean, you might say, they, what a coincidence. They were nice boys. The next song here is Nice Boys Live. It's a collection of, these are like the first B-sides. There's no information of what the venues were or the exact date. It's just labeled live.
Yeah, but it's probably all that Midwestern, you know, like touring Pennsylvania, you know, what do you call that? Early on, where they would hit those bars / clubs and you know what I'm saying, all that old shit. Good old boy network.
This is the stuff that was in so many different countries that they put out. There were the B-sides of the vinyls or the CDs that were going to the radio stations, you know? So it brings us to the third one. Here is Move to the City, live. Another B-side.
Thank you.
Okay, so we played that little rocker there in its entirety.
That's a good one, man.
So where we were playing, I was saying, we were in a conversation in the down low, live version, anybody, well, not anybody, but many people could have recorded that.
On all different levels.
I said Daryl Hall and John Oates. People are saying, what? No, no, seriously, you listen to that song, Daryl Hall and John Oates. You said Huey
Billy
Lewis,
Joel,
Bob
Huey Lewis,
Seger,
yeah.
And even into it, Cyndi Lauper. It's got that kind
Teddy
of
Nugent.
Feel. It's got that feel in a live sense to it that it could
Mark
be
Dawson.
Emerging. Mark Dawson could have done it, you know. Mickey Dolenz.
Yes.
But it's got that kind of rock feeling. It'd be the kind of thing that you open a show with. Track number four, just two. This is an Aerosmith cover that Guns N' Roses has done from the early career of Aerosmith. This is Mamakin, the live edit. Half of Mamakin live edit. I don't know what the difference between the live edit is. Maybe it was extended or something.
Just going to say that. Questionable. Question mark.
Big question marks. So the next one is Shadow of Your Love. I remember this song being on the B-side of one of the... I bought the CD single for one of the songs for the Spaghetti Incident album. And I don't... I sold it. It must have been a rare CD because I think I remember selling it on eBay several years later when eBay got invented for like $20. And I paid like $6 for it from Tower Records.
Nice.
But I just remembered it on the studio version or whatever the situation was. Axl Rose, wake up, time to play. I don't know if that's going to be on here, but it's recorded in the studio. So the live is added fake. So fakery, Fox. Anyway, here it is. Shadow of Your Love.
Thank you.
get through 66% of that one there. From Shadow of Your Love, Live. Okay, so if I read it correctly, if I remember reading, didn't write the notes for it, on Wikipedia it said that Slash states they took the audience noise for that song from Aerosmith's 1978 Live Texas Jam. And I guess they gave them kind of a good laugh, but to themselves, because they weren't even around 1978 as a band. So let's hit the next one. Here is You're Crazy, acoustic version. And we're not sure yet, but we might just play this entirety in this one.
Yeah, this might be really good. We might have to. We just have to.
I kind of like, the next three we might play in their entirety. So anyway, here is You're Crazy, acoustic version.
Say where you're going, what you gonna do?
I love about that is that's like you go into your psychiatrist and play that. You're fucking crazy. No. You're just mentally overexhausted.
That would be the hold music.
Yes.
While you're trying to call and make an appointment with your psychologist. Yes. Now, I think this is just my opinion. I'm going to throw it out there in the Ethernet. It sounds like there is an Easter egg in that song. Okay.
Was it hatched by the Cadbury Bunny or the regular Easter Bunny?
I think it was by the old AT&T.
Okay, so you found it.
I hear a telephone ringing in there.
Yes, you do.
Two different times in the first 2-minute block, and then it gets a little more faint in the background for like 3, 4, 5 more times in the last at past the 2-minute mark. And it sounds like, you know, maybe it's nothing, but you know how a phone will ring, well, it'll stay solid. But maybe it's just hit the way the hi-hats are being hit because it doesn't fade. But it sounds, to me, from now on, whenever I hear that song again, it's going to be, there's an Easter egg, there's a telephone ringing in there.
That's what it is. Wow. Telephone on that.
Let's do this. Let's put this up on Instagram, this track, this segment of it, okay? And let people vote yes or no. Do you hear a telephone ringing in this version of Your Crazy, the acoustic version of Guns N' Roses?
Awesome idea.
And then that way we can say, hey, the masses of the nerds agree that there is a telephone ringing in there. Okay, so these acoustic tracks are what came from the GNR Lives after Appetite for Destruction was released. And the lead single when it was released is Patience.
Oh, man, this is just so sweet.
So, not sure what the difference is. Maybe this is the single. Maybe it's the long. We're going to see here. Let's boot. So, right now, we're going to play for you Guns N' Roses.
Patience.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm missing you. I'm still alright to smile. Girl, I think about you every day now. Was a time when I wasn't sure, but you set my mind at ease. There is no doubt you're in my heart now. Take
5 minute 54 second version. Had to play the its entirety.
That is just like, wow.
It takes you back in time. So, next one here, used to love her, but I had to kill her. Now, this song you just got to take in tongue in cheek. It's kind, you know, Guns N' Roses put out a lot of controversial songs. The one song they did leave out of the whole collection of this box set is the one called One in a Million. That, because it's got some homophobic slurs or some tendencies. It's something they
this
just...
This is different than the 80s today.
Yeah. But it's just, it's kind of a fun, to me, it's an interesting, fun song as I laugh at it because it's like, don't take it so serious, okay? Here it is, I used to love her.
Okay. Slip. Bitch and fuss and cuss.
Okay, so you see what I mean, the lyrics. I mean, it's
Guns N' Roses Saturday Night Live version of their music.
Yeah, and I mean, it's almost something that the cowboy, you know, Merle Haggard or Johnny Cash, you know, they could have just sang it because it's a tongue-in-cheek, funny song. Johnny Paycheck, you know.
West Virginia, Kentucky Inns, throw her, had killer, I mean, had to love her, throw her on 6 feet under. I love that.
Yeah,
that is
like,
good.
I mean, and I can still hear her complain. So anyway, let's get on to the next one. This is a different version of You're Crazy, taken from the GNR Lies cassette version.
Thank you.
right, hold it. I'm interrupting the song here, okay? This is the different version, I believe, from this whatever was released where we played the acoustic version here ago. Now, let's rewind this a little bit, and I know I heard a phone ring in there. All right, let's go back to here. We're going to go back 39 seconds, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't need my love. You got...
Right there.
That was a phone.
That was a phone ringing, okay? Now, let me track it back just a little bit here. Maybe an xylophone or something, but it's got a ring, a telephone ring chime to it. All right, let's carry it on. Okay, so yeah, we're crazy because I hear a telephone in there, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it, rings.
You know, maybe that's what happened. The phone rang in the studio and they're like, we can't release that. And so they just, you know, backtracked it to B-side or to the next release.
What do you call that fucking thing you said? Easter egg. They just Easter egged it to block their fans.
I think it's an Easter egg. That's what I think it comes down to. Okay, so our next three are more live tracks from the Marquee Club in London, 1987. Oh, wow. This is kind of neat. These recordings are like the raw feeling, which you probably hear if you were actually seeing them live. Because at the time, you couldn't really... I remember the controversy going on because it was basically festival seating. You know what that is, right? It's basically where you have a ticket for anywhere, wherever you can get it to. Everybody runs in, you get trampled.
Yeah.
They caught a lot of flack shit for that. So anyway, here is It's So Easy Live Marquee Club. London, 1987.
87.
So there's part of It's So Easy, which was a definite B-side from the collection. So So let's get on to the next one, which is Knocking on Heaven's Door.
This one might have to be full. I love this song. Yeah, I forgot all about Heaven's Door.
Yeah, because everybody knows the song written by Bob Dylan. And then, you know, I remember a friend of mine telling me how, I don't know if he was, I thought he was making it up. He said that Bob Dylan was in the studio when Axl Rose in Guns N' Roses was recording their version of it.
He probably was.
And he said that Bob Dylan, you know, like, no, you don't sound like Bob Dylan. You got to sound like Bob Dylan, you know. Now, I don't know if this is a true story, if my friend was just pulling my leg. But then I remember later on thinking, maybe I'm crazy again, hearing telephones ringing songs. But maybe I read that on a Rolling Stone article, and it was real.
It's possible, man. Who knows?
It'll be something that I'm going to have to Wikipedia or check it out and see if it was true or not.
I forgot all about this song. Wow.
So here it is, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Take this best.
Okay, so had to play out the full track of that on Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah, man, live, man, wow. When he hits, like, knock, knock, he just escalates.
It's like in the compare and the contrast, okay? Like, Move to the City, like we were talking about. Used to Love Her. I'm not going to finish that. And then, I mean, the songs, they, besides, other people could do their song, how well it's written. When it comes to that song, because Bob Dylan, originally from Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, the movie, if you want to see Bob Dylan doing some acting about 1968, that's where it comes from, the soundtrack, if I'm correct on that. If not, I'm sorry. But it's their version of doing something Bob Dylan song.
But I think that was all them.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else better than Axl Rose can do that song, knock, knock, and rock, honestly.
Yeah. And again, you were saying it would be neat. Maybe we can find an isolated vocal of that.
Yeah, that would be
cool.
Sweet.
Anyway, there's also a video floating around on the internet from when U2 had Axl Rose on stage and they did Knocking on Heaven's Door. The problem is, it was so poorly recorded, it's a shame. It's like on a scale of grading, it's like a C minus.
Oh, wow.
So it brings us to the last track of the second disc. Here is an AC/DC cover of them doing Whole Lotta Rosie live, still at the Marquee Club. Just enough to wet your whistle there, your appetite for destruction.
Or wet your whistle while the whistle is wet, while we are done working for the day on this wickedly hot, wet, oh no, wildly, whatever, fuck it, it's Guns N' Roses.
Go buy it. Next week we will be reviewing disc number 3, which gets into the demo tracks from what's known as the Sound City Sessions 1986.
Good night.